call the meeting to order. Looking for adoption or amendment to the agenda.
So moved, Randy.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the agenda. You want to do roll on that, Patty?
I will. Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa, Dave?
Yes.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Number three is approve the minutes from the April 28th, 2020 meeting. Your wishes?
Minutes, Jeff Bertram.
Looking for a second.
Second, Dave.
Motion's been made and second to approve the minutes. You want to do roll call, Patty, or any discussion?
Jeff?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
And we'll go with that. Lisa?
I'm on two now.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Sorry I'm a little late.
Number four, for approval, we got the auditor's report, and we'll turn it over to... I don't know what's... Jackie? No.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Jackie Knowles with Bergen KDV here.
Yep.
I think I can share my screen. I haven't done this before, but. All right, can everyone see the screen okay with the PowerPoint?
I'm good.
Randy's good.
Perfect. So the main purpose of our audit is to offer our independent auditor's report, which is in the financial statements document at the beginning. And it talks about what our audit is, which it covers an audit of the financial statements of the library's general fund and also the long-term government-wide statements. So those are the required statements by the Government Auditing Standards Board. And management is responsible for those amounts in those statements, and our responsibility is to test those amounts and offer an opinion on them. And this year, we're giving the library an unmodified or clean audit opinion. It's the same that you've been receiving. It's the best that we can offer. We also are required to report in accordance with government auditing standards. It's required because of some of the grants that you're receiving. So what we're doing is we're taking a closer look at internal controls. And we're also looking at compliance with grants, contracts, and regulations. And we did have one internal control finding that you should sound familiar. It's the lack of segregation of accounting duties. And there's detail for that comment in the full audit report as far as where we saw the overlap. But again, it has to do with the small accounting staff to handle all of the duties of the library. And it's a cost-benefit analysis that's done by the library as far as what controls you're going to have in place and the cost of implementing the controls. But we have it at a significant deficiency. It's a mid-level finding because of the library's compensating controls that are in place that we looked at. And then we also report on compliance with state statutes in accordance with the Minnesota Legal Compliance Guide issued by the Office of the State Auditor, and there were no findings there. So then we'll get into some of the financial results. So revenues, if you look at the bottom line, in total, very consistent from 2018 to 2019, a decrease of about 0.1%. There were some smaller fluctuations in the different sources of revenue, but again, pretty consistent overall. There was a budgeted decrease in the revenues coming in from the signatories. Some of the gifts and contributions were up state grants were down a little bit, fines and miscellaneous were down a little bit. But again, not a lot of big changes in revenues this year. Looking at the sources of revenue percentage-wise, again, this, when I look back to last year, this reflects that same message as the previous page, just very consistent percentage-wise, only one percentage point variance here and there looking back to 2018. And then moving on to expenses, we saw an increase in 2019 of about 4.5% in total. And the bulk of that increase was in salaries and benefits, which is a category of spending. Salaries and benefits were up about 3.5%, and that was mainly the cost of living increases. Operating expenses were also up about $100,000, and that was due to increased purchases of small equipment that wasn't capitalized. It was below the capitalization threshold. And then also increased licensing fees were the big contributing factors there. And then this next slide, again, is similar pie chart view that we saw with revenue. So just looking at percentage-wise, your spending categories. And again, very consistent. When I looked back to 2018, just one percentage point change here and there. So as the library spending has grown in total, where the money is going has remained consistent. And then we can see that information pulled together. So your revenues and expenses. Again, revenues exceeded expenses. That excess was about $655,000 in 2019. So we'll see how that impacted your equity or your net position. Here you can see unrestricted grew. And on this slide, we have all of your categories of net position, unrestricted plus restricted and your net investment in capital assets. And all three of those categories actually grew in 2019. The net investment in capital assets increasing shows that you are investing more in equipment primarily. Was the reason in 2018 and 2019, the board approved spending down additional funds on some equipment. So 2019, there were printers, self-checkouts, computers, and new software were the big things that were purchased. A little bit of an increase in your restricted. That corresponds with your gift fund. There was some money set aside there additionally in 2019 related to the annuity and what actually came in 2019. And then the unrestricted or what's available for spending on any purpose also went up just with your positive operations in 2019. And so that was it for the slides that I was going to go through. I'll open it up if anyone has any questions on anything.
Anybody got questions? Wow, he must have done a really good job, Jackie. Nobody seems to have a question.
Pretty straightforward year, I would say.
Okay. Once again, has anybody got any questions for Jackie?
I do, Ed. This is Dave.
Okay.
I think we were told maybe a year ago or more, there's going to be some new GASB rules coming out.
Yep.
Can you tell us about them?
Yeah, so there's a lease standard that's coming up. It was supposed to be implemented for your 2020 financial statements that has been postponed a year. Just with COVID-19, all of the upcoming statements have been postponed about a year. So you won't need to implement for 20 until 2021. Based on our preliminary research, the only lease that will be impacted by that is the one with the city of St. Cloud. The ones with the other branches, we don't believe fall under the statement, but we're going to continue to do some research on that too.
But we're already recording that in the financial statements anyways, with the revenue going out and the where the expenditures going out and the revenue coming in from the city, right?
Right, but I think under the new standard, we're going to have to record liability.
And then lease liability, okay.
And an offsetting asset for your right to use the building.
Okay.
So, go ahead, Randy.
This is Randy. Jackie or whoever, maybe this is for Karen too, that Gazmi, again, we're not under contract or lease contract, the new lease contract, which is the only one of all the franchises or the Great River places that we have the leases for. Can we use the old lease since we're under contract with the city of St. Cloud under the old lease under this Gazmi? Will that work, or are we going to be forced to have a lease done with the city of St. Cloud?
It's my understanding we will address that when we actually have to book it. It's hard to say where we'll be at with the city of St. Cloud at that point since it's over a year away. But we will use whatever agreement we're working under.
Yeah. We'll have to just look at what.
Mr. Chair, can I ask Randy a question? I believe, if I remember, you met with the mayor, Randy?
That is correct. And the question was, is I asked him the same thing about the city of the lease and what the agreement was. He was kind of in the dark about it. I think his assistant, that attorney or whatever, was pretty much doing everything. I don't believe he's going to be running again. Correct me if I'm wrong. So we'll be probably dealing with another mayor. But the concerns that, you know, myself had, is what's the liability that we're going to have under the old agreement versus the new agreement, you know? So, and again, I know I discussed this with Karen and I discussed with this with the mayor, and he really didn't give an answer to me about what the moving forward the city of St. Cloud's going to do.
Well, okay, this is probably off the, but I would like to see it put on the board agenda coming up so that we can discuss this lease issue, because I think it's gone on too long without a new lease. So
I guess from my standpoint, I think we'd probably be in the better interest of us if we wait and see if Mayor Kleiss is going to run for re-election or not. You know, if he's not seeking re-election, we might be in our best interest to wait for the new management to get in there.
Well, I don't disagree with that, Ed, but I think we should have some discussion at the board meeting.
Okay. On
what we're doing. I agree with that. I mean, if he's not going to run, then we should probably wait. But
okay.
I think we've just been sitting on our hands too long on this. I think we need to get an agreement. It's beyond me why they don't want to negotiate and come up with an agreement. I just don't understand this. So
if Mr. Chair, if I may weigh in, this is Randy again. You know, a lot of it has to do with the square footage. Again, Karen understands that we were close to agreement here, I don't know, a year ago. Karen can correct me if I'm wrong. But our cost will go up if we go with a new contract. Now, I know we're getting sidetracked here for Jackie, but I say this is, I agree with Dave, too, that this is something that should we address, because we made all the other Great River libraries in each city sign a lease contract, and now we have the city of St. Cloud being the lone wolf. Again, I don't know what the correct answer is, but it's got its benefits maybe by not doing a contract, but I think, yes, we should concern what our liability will be, as Karen stated, if we do not have a new contract with the city of the St. Cloud, the old one continues. And correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, and what's the consequences?
At this point, the lease continues on until we hear otherwise. And the last we heard, the city of St. Cloud was going to send us a revised proposal, but that was before COVID hit. So I don't know when we will hear from them. I can ask them again.
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram, I did raise this question during the outtake meeting. Lisa and Ed would know that for the same thing. Maybe what I can't say that I've ever seen is the old lease. My only concern would be, or the current lease, my only concern would be governments are going to be dipping into everything they can dip into with what we know is going to be the financial reality. And I don't want to risk our employees or our patrons that if a window is broken or ventilation's, does that current lease cover all that? I think it should, but I don't know how many pages that is, but it maybe won't hurt for us if you are going to put it on the board agenda to at least have that available that we can preview that if cities are looking to make cuts, they're going to maintain the facility to where our employees can work and our patrons can come into.
You're correct, Jeff, on that. So can we get it, as Dave suggested, get it on the board agenda for a week from today?
We can add it as a topic, sure.
Okay. Any other questions? Otherwise, we're looking for approval of the of number four.
Dave moves to approve. Sorry for taking us off track there.
That's okay, Dave. Good points that need to be discussed.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the auditor's report by Bergen KDV. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'll ask for Patty to call the roll.
Okay. Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye with a comment. It's getting scary. I'm starting to understand this Zoom thing, how to mute myself and not mute myself, see my picture. So kudos to me.
Okay, it carried. Thank you, Jackie.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, so we'll move. Go ahead. All right, there we go. We'll move on to number five, the current letter of credit designation. I would bet that's Jay. Or no, Aaron?
That'd be me. Okay. These come up periodically. This is just the last one that they've sent, dated April 24th, and the amount didn't change. So this is the one that we do annually, and then any that come after this before next May, obviously, are just a verbal.
Okay. So it's no big change from before, right?
No, it's just a different number and the same dollar amount.
Okay. So any questions? Otherwise, we're looking for action on this.
Mr. Chair.
Lisa?
I was going to make a motion. Does someone have a question?
Yeah. Lee, I forgot to look that up. What is the cost of the letter of credit?
Nothing.
There's no cost?
No.
Why do we have it?
It's an additional $150,000 above the FDIC limit of $250,000. So in effect, we have $400,000 worth of coverage for our deposits and our savings accounts over at Bremer.
All right.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the letter of credit as detailed.
I'll second Jeff Bertram.
So motion's been made and seconded by Lisa and Jeff. Any other comments? Otherwise, Patty will call the roll.
Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Okay, motion's been made, second and voted on and approved, so motion's carried. Moving on to number six, the preliminary 2021 budget and discussion. So it was in your packet or online, whichever you received. You had a chance to look at it, I guess. Aaron, do you want to explain it, or are we pretty much self-explanatory?
I can give a high-level review, sure.
Okay.
So what I did with this budget this time was we put together two scenarios, one using $350,000 in unassigned fund balance and one using $295,601. And I know that sounds like an odd number. It's just because of the way I use the cash reserves amount to balance the budget when we put the signatories at $0 change from the previous budget year of 2020. So for 2021, the first scenario is just bringing, along with the changes that I noted in the cover sheet, is just bringing the signatories down to zero, adding in the budget requests, dropping interest revenue down a little bit to more actual, seeing as though we know where rates are kind of headed at the moment. For the second scenario, that one was adding $350,000. So in effect, there was $55,000 more going into the or being used from the unassigned fund balance. So therefore, it dropped the signatory share down another $55,000 and change. So when I put this together, Karen had asked to put it together to where it's like more readable. So what I basically did is scenario one and two are just the revenue changes with those in mind. And then the expenditure side, those are identical for both scenarios. And I think, let me see here. I think they yielded, so the original one was a 1.7, and then this, the second one, I don't have the whole thing in front of me. I got to have the whole thing in front of me. But it did drop down. So the revenue side is a 1.09 on scenario number one, I believe. Yep. And then for scenario two, yeah, it didn't change it a whole lot, 1.10%, so 1.1.
Okay.
But I can answer any questions, or Karen can too, because she helped a lot putting this together too. So.
Okay, questions from Finance Committee? Comments?
I'd have one comment, Mr. Chair. We would like the committee to pass one of the two scenarios, and then the preliminary budget that's passed today will be what the full board takes a look at next Tuesday. The final budget would not be passed until July.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram, Aaron, sure. And Karen, do you have any preference?
Well, obviously the second one benefits the county signatories more than the first one does, but otherwise, other than that, they're pretty much identical. I guess I don't really know the current impact that this COVID-19 pandemic is going to have on our counties come next year, the fallout from that with property taxes and things like that. So, I guess preference wise, I would rather lean towards, helping the counties out as much as possible at this point. But, between the two, it's only a $55,000 swing, but that could mean a lot to our smaller counties like Todd or Morrison. So, it's really up to you guys, but.
So, Mr. Chair, similar, Jeff, that was my question, too. Since they're so similar, when I was looking through them, I'm like, is there a preference of the staff? So If there's no preference, I think I would prefer scenario two, obviously. If it's only a 55,000 difference.
I see thumbs up from Dave. So
I know I'm seeing thumbs up. I'm seeing different things, but I guess if it doesn't, I don't know if we're ready for a motion with it.
Is there any other inputs or discussion? You know, I kind of agree with Lisa. I would prefer scenario number two. Just it looks like we're trying to do due diligence to the counties. You know, and like Aaron said, nobody really knows where we're going with this. You know, I think a lot's going to be said when, you know, October, November rolls around with our second half of our property taxes. I don't think we're going to see a big impact on the May 15th ones, but I think you might see a drastic one on the October, November property taxes. So I guess looking forward, you know, that'd be my preferences. We're giving a little relief here to every county, whether your budget's big or your budget's small, we're giving you some relief.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Scenario two, I think we got to be mindful of the public, because with everything going on, they're looking for anything to be trimmed. If we show at the library board, hey, we've trimmed a little bit here, I mean, it's good face value, good PR for us on this thing that, hey, we're being sensitive to the issues at hand, and we are adjusting our budget to that. Even though it's not a huge dollar amount, it's still just the fact that you're doing something.
And it's a faster way, too, to get that unassigned fund balance down eventually to where you guys want it to eventually land.
If you recall the February conversation, we originally were talking about using the equivalent of one CD, and that's what scenario two really is. That's the 100,000 surplus from last year's budget plus the $250,000 CD.
Correct. Yep. Thank you, Karen.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve scenario two.
I'll second.
Mr. Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve scenario number two.
Mr. Chair, this is Randy. I have a little bit of discussion on this. Do we know what the impact would be on, again, I'm all for number two also, but I just want to know what impact would this have by reducing that to Morrison County, Wright County, whatever. Do we know that yet? Because, again, the state is telling us that they're going to be over $1 billion in negative shortfall or whatever this year. I'm assuming all of us counties right now are, you know, this is, we have our passed our budget already for 2020, but we're going to be losing out on a lot of that sales tax and everything. So come this fall when we get into our heavy budget, I'm hoping that this is going to at least break us even as far as not having an increase with the Great River Regional Library. I'll shut up and listen.
Oh, the answer to your question's in there, Randy. It would be page 37. It looks like Morrison County under scenario two would see a $3,800 decrease.
Well, this is Dave. I mean, any negative looks good for us, for our colleagues on the county board, but really we're not cutting the budget. We're just supplementing the budget. Mm-hmm. So
correct.
My concern was that we didn't hurt the patrons out there, and we haven't, as far as I'm concerned. So this is a good way to handle this and move forward. So, I mean, I'm going to inform my board we're not cutting anything. We're just supplementing with some reserve funds. So.
And if I may add, again, Dave's got a good point that we discussed a little bit today at the board meeting. Are we taxing the counties more than we should be right now? And that's a question that we're going to have to answer. So even though you're right, we're not cutting the budget, we're just using money that we have excess at the library. And again, we have a lot of money there. So, you know, it's right. Always the state that, well, what if, well, you know, we have to live on the now sometimes too, rather than what if this scenario happens. So just a comment.
Right.
I mean, this also gets you guys closer to your goal, like I said earlier too. I mean, you know, going down the road with other budgets, we can look at doing something similar, because something tells me, and it's just my opinion, that, you know, this pandemic we're in right now is going to have a serious ripple effect. I don't think it's going to go away in just 1 year. But because, I mean, if you follow financial markets and things like that, like the housing crash, that took a couple of years to even pan out. So, yeah. So I think this is a good step forward.
Okay. Jeff, you have any comment, you know, not being on the county board?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, you certainly have done your wherewithal. And I mean, I support reducing the amounts that the counties have to pay. And Dave makes an excellent point. This is a good first step, but I think we're all going to, I think we're in for a long, and Aaron's right, we're in for a long couple of years. It's a $4 billion deficit that the state's projection right now. It went from a $1.5 billion surplus to a $4 billion deficit. So that, I mean, and the state's got to balance their budgets just like the counties do. And I'm afraid the reality is everybody's going to be cut. And we may need to cut the budget in 2021, but we'll see when we get there.
Okay. Any other comments? Because we have a motion and a second on the floor.
Call a question.
All right, Patty.
There we go. Okay, Jeff.
And again, just to be clear, we're voting for scenario two.
Correct.
That was my understanding. Yep.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Dave.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Ed.
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
All right, everybody is in favor, so it passed. Like, thank you, Aaron and Karen, for your, you know, this is a well-explained part of the budget to see where we go and what, you know, which scenario was there. So, job well done.
Thank you.
Item number 7 is the Regional Library Telecommunications Aid Update.
I'm going to leave, Mr. Chair. Thank you, guys.
All right. Hey.
Stay safe.
Thanks, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Thanks.
So we threw this on the agenda because a week ago I wasn't sure whether we'd need a board approval to move forward or not, but at this point we do not. Regional Library Telecommunications Aid, just to remind you, is the fund that we receive from the state for network connectivity and the hardware to support it. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years about using it for other purposes that are related to telecommunications. The current list was limited to what is E-rate eligible, and so we were very limited on how we could use it. The state had fewer Category 1 and Category 2 requests this year, and so had some surplus funds in this Regional Library Telecommunications Aid, and has decided to distribute that access to each region divided by 12. So Great River will be receiving $46,300.68. And we are receiving it under Executive Order 2041, which was the most recent executive order addressing distance learning, with the purpose of expanding student and public access to technology and the internet. So we did some communication with our school districts with high levels of free and reduced lunch and homelessness. And regardless of whether they were a rural or a St. Cloud area district, it seemed like community hotspots and circulating hotspots were the areas that they thought would be most helpful. So we are going to be ordering about 120 hotspots, and we'll be able to pay for a year-long subscription for all of them with this funding. What we're hoping to do is put a few of them in locations like there's apparently a trailer park where there's 8 families that have no internet access for their students. And we were asked to maybe take a look at some township halls in the rural areas where the internet connections are hard to get and see if we can get some type of agreement to place them there for a year. So the funds will be in the door on Friday, and we'll be looking to get those hotspots out as soon as we can get them in place. The last hotspot grant we received about a month ago, and we ordered the hotspots and they just were coming in. So we have a few week delay after the order is placed before we can actually get them in action, but that funding is coming in fairly soon.
Okay. I just got a question, Karen. So how do you go about, or do you have way more requests than you will have funding for?
Oh yeah. Okay. We are still trying to figure out exactly how we're going to circulate them. We have, if you remember, we have a pilot project out in Piers that we used with fund development dollars to circulate 5 hotspots out of the library there, but they do not take reservations and it's a 1 week checkout. We are going to try something similar with the hotspot grant from last month in Little Falls, Foley, Belgrade, and Uppsala. And we picked those locations based on households without internet and lack of broadband access in the community. So this next round, since it's tied to this distance learning, we're gonna focus on school districts with high levels of need. And it sounds like Todd County is gonna be a focus area, and probably Benton County and Morrison County. So if you have ideas about where they should go, we can certainly reach out to the places. We're not really sure how this community hotspot thing will work, because you can only have so many people connected to a hotspot and still have it be functional. So there's a lot of logistics to work out with the idea.
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram, I'm curious, Karen, how many can be hooked up? Like, are we talking 10, 50?
When I was talking with Jay, he thought at most 8 people at a time.
Got it.
Yeah, it depends on what they're doing too. You know, if you got everybody streaming YouTube at the same time, that's not quite the same as everybody sending an email at the same time. But I think any connection in some of these locations are better than none. It was interesting. One of the barriers to access for families who are in poverty isn't just the ability to get an internet subscription, it's their inability to get a credit card. Even those locations where they were able to get free internet access from their provider, one of the providers required them to have a credit card on file. And because they didn't have a credit card, they couldn't get the free internet connection. So it's been really interesting to hear what the barriers are. It's not always what we expect them to be.
And Mr. Chairman, this obviously is not just for library resources. Once you get the hotspot, right, you can do anything.
It's right. The internet. Yep.
Right. Yep. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This will also work out good for the state because, you know, with AMC, we did transportation, we did broadband task force was on there. And with all the deficiencies going on, the legislature kind of wonder what's going on. This is not going to be anything but good information for them to know where your problem spots are and to help these kids to the school, because now they're learning from home. There's some glaring holes that they got to fill. And this is a good way to give them a little more information on where you need to put your resources in to help.
Thanks, Mike. One extra comment there. One of the things we learned too is not all schools are going to let their students keep their devices over the summer. They're being strongly encouraged to do so. But there's several families where that is the only internet connection for their household. And with everything being online right now, once those devices go back to the school, some of those families may not be able to telework either. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how far those tails go out.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lisa?
Yeah, this is great, great hotspot. I know I've talked with Karen and the planning team about this, that, and the best resource right now for knowing where there's lacking areas in all of our counties are the school districts, because they know every single student that wasn't able to get access, either no availability or absolutely couldn't afford it as a household. But mostly it was a lack of availability. Even Livonia Township up just around the Zimmerman area in my district is sorely lacking. Their school district gave out multiple hotspots just for Livonia Township. So school districts have a great, they've been collecting data on this since this pandemic started. So.
Well, and they have a requirement that if they get no communications, no nothing else after so many days or so much a week, they have to go out and see why they're not getting it too. So.
Yeah. So this is great.
Yep, I think so too. So maybe we could work a little bit with the schools, Karen?
Yeah, we are reaching out to the schools. I sent emails out to the superintendents as soon as I found out, targeting the ones with really high poverty rates. So okay. If you have specific ideas of where we should be looking, I'd be open to that because we're still trying to figure out exactly what to do with all these funds.
Okay, sounds great.
Apply for the hot spots, and then once they're in the door, we got to get them out. So.
Any other questions on that? Well, thanks. That's a great update, Karen. Number 8, next meeting, July 21st.
That's what we have on our normal schedule. If you guys want to do something different, we certainly are open to it.
I don't know. What do you guys think? I think we're pretty good shape right now, don't you?
I think we're fine. We've got the budget, preliminary budget. We've done the audit, and we always can. You can always call it if you need to.
Sure. Yep.
I agree.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, Karen, you might want to just remind everybody of the meeting next Tuesday, because I was confused. So just in case.
Yes, personnel is at 5:30, and the regular board meeting will be at 6 next week, Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. Any other questions, comments, or stuff that should come before the Finance Committee?
For this meeting, if you intend to accept per diem, please just send me an email so I can forward that as your reimbursement request.
Okay. Anything else? Otherwise, we're going to move for adjournment.
And Ed, don't put in for mileage this time.
Hey, if you knew where I was, I'm in Bolas, right across the highway from my field where I was in the field planting corn.
Just one comment. Every Zoom call I'm on, people are getting the hang of it more and more with their screens and their mute buttons. Good job, Randy.
Thank you.
All right. We're adjourned then. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Ed. See you next Tuesday.